It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
And away we go into hour number three of the Rob Brown Radio Show. Rob the Great Alonzo with you. It is Monday morning, people. Spectacular to have you here with us this and every weekday morning from 6 until 10 a.m. on the Fan Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, and all around the world for free on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Grab it, put it on all of your digital devices. I also want to remind you of the voice note feature on the Audacy app. You go to the Audacy app. You go to the Fan Upstate page. You got the little Listen Live button. It's orange. It's right in the middle of the page. Click that. You can listen live to the station anytime, 24/7, 365. And right next to that, there's a little microphone button. You push that little microphone button, and you can record and send us a 60-second voice note in which you can say anything that you want, anytime that you want to say it. You're watching Saturday college football real late into the night. You got a hot take that you want to share with the Great One and I. Very simple way to do that. Go to the voice notes feature on the Audacy app and send it. You're watching a little NFL Sunday, and one of my favorite players gets absolutely lit up by the Houston Texans, and you want to leave a little voice note about that? Do it. Go to the Audacy app. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click the little microphone button and send us that message. We would be happy to hear you out. It is 8 o'clock in the morning. It is time for the Audio Blitz. This is our favorite sound that we have collected. In this case, on a Monday, over the weekend. Let's just roll through it. Let's start with Arkansas quarterback Talen Green. Arkansas got a big win this weekend. They knocked off number 4 at the time and undefeated at the time, Tennessee. Arkansas quarterback Talen Green took to the microphone after the game was over to discuss a little bit about what this says about the Arkansas program, where this Arkansas program is after this win. And his message was very simple. My man said it with his whole chest. He looked a reporter in the face and said, I think we ain't done yet. The reporter said, oh, you mean you personally? He said, I think we ain't done yet. In a weird way, I'm kind of interested to see what Arkansas looks like the rest of the year. I think this could be very interesting. Hey, speaking of interesting, you know what's interesting? The Savannah Bananas. You win it all on the banana ball, Lonzo. Do you think I could get you to come to a baseball game if it's banana ball?
I've been to baseball games before, especially minor league baseball.
Could I get you to come watch the Savannah Bananas with all the real rules and the players batting on stilts? And
as long as it's not on Saturday, probably.
Well, I got good news. This isn't a weekday.
All right, it's a little presumptive that you believe that you're going to pack that place out.
I guarantee you they do. I guarantee you. They have filled MLB parks.
I can tell
parks.
You one person who's not going.
Yeah, you tell me one person who's not going. I'll tell you right now, there are three.
You baited me there.
Here's the right I brought up. There's three football stadiums that are getting a game. Nashville, Tennessee, where the Titans play. Clemson and Bank of America in Charlotte.
Charlotte, there we go.
Playing at BOA, and I will tell you, I am in the banana ball ticket raffle for both of those stadiums. I hope I didn't get them when they came here to Greenville last year. If you got to go to that game, exclusive Banana Land, coming to the Valley next year, and I'm all in for it. Hey, the Buffalo Bills are in trouble. I'll just let you listen to Scott Hansen's mental breakdown while calling the end of the Bills-Texans game on NFL Red Zone. Come on, Scott. Scott Hansen at the beginning of that clip going, what are we doing? Nick Saban spot on the soundboard under threat from Scott Hansen. He wasn't the only one. Trey Wingo, former ESPN personality, he was not happy with the performance either. All right, you got the end of it.
Well, you got Josh Allen. He's like the greatest quarterback in the world, so he can handle that, right?
Listen, you know I'm a Josh Allen stan. I'm a fan. I'm a big Josh Allen guy. Here's the one, and I mean this. I'm going to be real critical here. Here's the one issue that you have when you have Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen can do some superhero, I think sometimes McDermott and Josh Allen are like, let's let Josh Allen do some superhero. And you end up with that. I really think they thought 20 seconds, that's enough time for Josh Allen to go 97 for the score, right? 20 seconds? Let's let Josh Allen do Josh Allen bleep and see what happens. And when you get to the point that you let a guy become the ball, become the guy who plays hero ball to bail you out, you end up with that. You end up with that. On the opposite end of that spectrum is Deshaun Watson. I don't know if you saw this. And in a weird way, I'm going to kind of defend Deshaun on this one here for
a
second.
No, you're not.
Here's the audio from the end of that Browns-Jags game when something went a little... Actually, it was the third quarter. All right, so here's what happened. Third quarter, Browns down by a lot of points at this point. It's fourth and goal. They're down 24-3, by the way. It's fourth and goal. Stefanski wants to go for it. Sends the offense back out there. And then, out of the huddle, Deshaun just walks to the sideline.
Nah, bro.
Leaves the field.
I'm not doing that.
And, of course, everybody blew up. Oh, Deshaun gave up on the team. Deshaun gave up on the drive. Yada, yada, yada. Which it certainly looked like. I will point out this. There were 12 men in the huddle. They were getting a penalty anyway. They were out of time to get anybody off the field. They were getting a penalty. There was nothing. That was a 5-yard penalty. Whether they went delay a game or 12-yard, they're getting the penalty. So Deshaun, because you can actually see him before they go, you can see him counting guys in the huddle. And actually one of the other guys on the Browns offense was counting the guys in the huddle. They had 12 on the field. So everybody blew up at Deshaun. And listen, Deshaun's bad at football. I tweeted that out yesterday. I literally sent a tweet that said, Deshaun Watson's bad at football. Because he looks atrocious. But I'm also going to say, there were 12 guys in the huddle. That was getting called back even if they ran the play, A. And B, Deshaun had like 3 or 4 spots where he hit a guy in the hands and they were just dropping the ball. He also had a lot of spots where he just missed wide open receivers. Things are bad in Cleveland right now. Sammy Brown had a great game for Clemson against the Florida State University Seminoles as the Clemson Tigers go down to Tallahassee and get the win they were expected to get over FSU. Darian Rencher and Amari Rogers, a pair of Clemson Tiger legends, wanted to discuss Sammy Brown. And I got to tell you, badge of honor for Sammy Brown.
Oil check.
I don't think
oil check
that there is anything that makes me happier in football than when I see a cowboy collared meathead middle linebacker, a millennial version of the boss. This is my favorite thing because you know he's going to hit everything that moves. Doesn't matter if it's got the ball or not. If meathead linebacker with a cowboy collar in the middle of the field has the opportunity to enact violence upon someone, violence shall be enacted.
And if he's at Clemson, he might grab things he should not grab.
Oil check. Oil check. Love that. Here's something that I know Lonzo is going to love. Last night, the San Diego Fathers on the road at the LA Traffic Dodgers. You know, that's why they call that. It used to be in Brooklyn. You had to dodge traffic on the way to the stadium to watch them play, so they were called the Dodgers. That's where the name comes from. It's fun.
I'm going to take your word for it because I'm not going to look
That's 100% a true story. Okay. Baseball historian over here. All right. Jerickson Profar is an interesting character in the landscape of baseball. He was a top pick many years ago. He kind of disappeared, really wasn't anything. And now all of a sudden he's very good at baseball again. Mookie Betts at the dish, bottom five. The Padres lead by one. And this happened. So Jurickson Profar robs a Mookie Betts home run. But here's the fun part. So he goes into the stands. There's a short fence, right field, out in right field at Dodger Stadium. Foul lines here, they have a little section that juts into the field, and then it goes straight back. And so that little section, if you go straight down the line to right, it's like 20 feet shorter to hit home run there, right? But it's a short fence. So if you're in the front row there, you're on field level. Profar reaches into the stands, catches the ball, except for he's like two rows deep when he does. He comes back, and then he just stands there. Looking at the crowd, and he's like jumping up and down like he's real, real frustrated at that point. Like he's real, real frustrated, and he's jawing at one of the fans. And what you heard in the first part of the clip there, the Dodgers thought it was gone. Great when the Dodgers played the home run celebration music. They started doing the flashy light show thingy on the field that all the teams are doing nowadays. The scoreboard on the television screen popped up the home run graphic and changed the score from 1-0 Padres to 1-1 Dodgers. And then Profar pulled the ball out of the glove and revealed he caught it. They had to kill the home run music. They had to turn the lights back on, and the TV graphic had to take down the home run graphic and take 1-1 and reel it backwards to 1-0, all while Jurickson Profar is in left field laughing his ass off at what just happened. Now, here's what I will say. Cool thing, the Dodger fan that he was interacting with looked at him, tipped the cap, and was like, that's a great catch. Yeah, then other Dodger fans started throwing baseballs and trash onto the field at Jurickson Profar. He and Fernando Tatis got very upset about that. The Padres would then go on to hit 6 home runs in this game and win it 10-2 going away. Profar trolled an entire baseball stadium and a television network, let him go through the entire home run celly before going, oh, this? Yeah, no, I have it.
I just watched it, which was pretty cool. But it's that was audience interference, wasn't it?
It was not. He caught the ball.
Yeah, but
if he hadn't,
that guy had his hand right in his glove, it looked like.
I don't know if the rules are more lenient when the player's two rows deep. I believe the rule is if you reach onto the field, right? So if a player or if a fan reaches down or if you knock the glove away, but when it's in the audience like that, I think they let that go. Like if he doesn't catch it, they go, oh, he just couldn't catch it. I don't care. The fact that he trolled a TV network to put up the wrong graphics, incredible. Hey, you know how I'm very afraid of Max Crosby? This is field audio. Bo Nix and his Broncos up against the Raiders. Bo Nix, they win the game, but he was not having a good day. Max Crosby offered a bit of friendly advice. Bo Nix was trying to audible out of a play on the field. It was loud. The team couldn't hear him. Max Crosby stood up from his defensive end position, walked to the nose tackle, and yelled across the line at Bo Nix, Bo, speak up. They don't know. Telling Bo Nix, hey, be a leader. Take over. They don't hear the play call. Vocalize a little bit. All I know is this. If I'm Bo Nix, I'm in the shotgun, working my audible. I look up and I see Max bleeping Crosby 4 feet away from me, screaming in my face.
I'm glad that you edited that video because I will tell you, on several occasions yesterday, watching the Panther game and watching Red Zone, some people did not.
Live TV, baby!
They did not. They still got a button. They did not push the button, and some things got through, including I forget what game where an announcer had to comment on that.
Live TV, baby. Last one, and then we got to go to the break. Diego Pavia is the quarterback for the Vanderbilt Commodores. He says all you need to know about the weekend the Doors just had. Vanderbilt is turnt. That was it. That's his interview.
They still use that word, turnt?
Sure do.
Apparently.
Sure do. Diego Pavia does. Diego Pavia, it's 4th and 1.
Yeah, but it's nerds on the football team. And I get that they just major upset. Counting on them to say a word that's still relevant, I don't know.
Diego Pavia on 4th and 1. Vanderbilt needs a first down. Otherwise, Alabama's probably coming back to win this thing. What does this do? No big deal. Uncork a 60-yard tutty through the air, which whatever air Bama had in the balloon at that point was out of it. It was incredible.
So that's what Turnt looks like now.
Turnt looks like the Vanderbilt nerds taking the goalpost down, marching it 3 miles through downtown Nashville, Tennessee, and dumping it into a river because bleep Bama, that's why. Dude, I live tracked the goalpost through downtown Nashville, Tennessee. There was a clip of a kid, probably 22, 23 years old, helping carry the thing. Guy turns the camera and he goes, "How pumped are you right now?" And the guy goes, "I don't even go to this school." That's how lit Vanderbilt was. Incredible. All right, when we come back, we got some NASCAR to talk about, a little basketball to talk about. We have got John Blau joining us in about 20 minutes to talk Clemson football after the win over Florida State and more, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to tell you about our friends at QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in non-surgical regenerative therapy. For joint pain, if you're dealing with joint pain, you know that joint pain is frustrating. And not just because of the pain itself, which is beyond aggravating, but the fact that it takes so much away from you. It takes away the things that you want to do. It takes away from the ability to go play the golf you love to play or go hike with your significant other or maybe just roll around on the floor with your grandkids. Well, QC Kinetics is here to help you get it back in just in time for the fall. They harness your body's own natural healing capabilities. They take those capabilities and they put them right at the source of the joint pain. So whether it's your ankles or your toes, your knees or your elbows, QC Kinetics is going to go right to the source and help you get rid of that joint pain and get your life back. You want to learn more about it? Easy. Go to QCKinetics.com, QCKinetix.com, or call them today at 864-448-3772, 864-448-3772. You mentioned the Rob Brown Show. You tell them I sent you. QC Kinetics is going to give you your first consultation for free. 864-448-3772. Feel better, faster, naturally with our friends at QC Kinetics. Here, I'll answer Diesel's questions for them. Did South Carolina turn in any kind of performance? Did Clemson do enough to get themselves into the top 10? That's it. South Carolina, it's so weird because everything before the bye felt real good. And for me anyway, Lonzo's not giving up. He's hanging on, and I respect it. For me, it's all crashed down. It's not that you lost. I said last Friday, losing is what it is. Be competitive. You lose, you lost to a top 10 team. Be competitive. You lose, you lost to a team that's got a ton of talent. Be competitive. You lose to arguably the best offensive mind in the Southeastern Conference. Just be competitive. South Carolina was never competitive. There was never a point. And it would be one thing if you played an SEC game last week. It'd be one thing if you played Kentucky last week. If you played LSU last week, it'd be one thing if you played a tough game last week and then you came into this one. But you had a bye week last week and you had Akron the week before that. It has been 3 weeks since you played a game that was quality enough that I would go, you know what, it's understandable.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you picked them to lose.
I didn't pick them to lose.
Okay.
I picked them to cover. You had 9.5 points to play with. I needed you inside of 2 scores. And again, I would even say I have seen games before where a team loses by 10 or 12 or 14, but they were competitive. At what point?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In that game, and I'm talking, take it back to the first 3 minutes. At what point in that game, if you were watching it, did you go, we're a big play away? We're right there. We're a big play. There was never a point where I felt like you were third. You had like one Rocket Sanders good run where I'm like, okay, establish the run. Didn't do that. I got Lenora Sellers missing some shots here and there. And again, I did this say to myself over and over, the man is a first-year QB1. He had limited experience last year. He's a first-year QB1. I am treating Lenora Sellers as a freshman. But here's the other issue, and this is the big thing as it goes with the Gamecocks that I'm leaning on. Is there anybody on that football team right now, great one? Sincere question. I'm not making an accusation or anything. Genuine question. Is there anyone on that football team, Lenora Sellers, Rocket Sanders, anyone across the offensive line? And a Gamecock fans out there in the Armada, I'll ask you as well. Is there anybody on that football team that you look at and you go, that player is clearly better in week 6 than they were in week 1? Did Lenora Sellers look better to you in week 6 against Ole Miss than he did in week 1? Because he didn't to me.
Well, he didn't exactly have 6 weeks because he got hurt and he was coming off of injury. And I mean, well, probably still dinged up pretty.
I mean, maybe. You know. Did he look okay? Did he look like mentally he was sharper? Like he understands or sees the field better than he did back in week 1? Because he doesn't to me. Forget the physical attributes. Let's just talk about as a quarterback. Does he look like he saw things better? Like he processed things better? Didn't to me. Does Rocket Sanders look like a more polished running back from week 1 to week 6? Done to me. Very physically gifted. Hits holes and cuts through them as quickly as anybody else. But I also don't see that polish on a running back that I need to be an SEC standout. I don't see it. So that offensive line, remember, that was a big question coming into this year. Offensive line on paper, better. Did that offensive line look better against Ole Miss than they did back in week 1? Not to me. The only position I could say has gotten better is the defensive line. Defensive line's been good. Problem is, your defensive backs are getting beat so quickly, your defensive line is being done. Usually it's the defensive backs being made to look better because the defensive line gets to the quarterback and makes him make a decision rapidly before your DBs can be dragged out of spots. Your DBs are getting dragged out of spots before your defensive line can make a difference, and your defensive line's good. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. This team does not look better in week 6 than they did in week 1. And that is where my questioning of and concern for Shane Beamer is coming from.
But they looked better in the Kentucky game than they did in week 1. So this is more of a regression.
I don't disagree. But here's the thing. This is how I said it earlier.
They looked really good against Akron. And I'm just going to say again, this is the first bad game. The first bad game. LSU, we both have said many times, they should have won that game. That was a good game for them. This is their first bad game. He's jumping. It was like, head first, I'm out of here.
I don't disagree. It is not the loss. It's not the loss. It's the constant state of regression. It just feels like every time you take 2 steps forward, three back.
Are you bailing on Alabama because they lost to Vandy?
No.
Why?
I'm not.
Why?
Because of Georgia.
Yeah, but it was one bad game. Did they have one bad game?
Am I bailing on Alabama? I feel a hell of a lot less confident in my pick that Bama's going back to a natty this year. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what Kalen DeBoer has that Nick Saban doesn't? That Shane Beamer doesn't? A very long track record of success with games like this sprinkled in. The problem is, what I saw this Saturday is a hallmark.
Not at Alabama, he doesn't.
Correct. But over the course of his career, just say about Shane Beamer in general. You can't, because he doesn't have any sort of track record other than South Carolina. Just playing track record. It's like every time South Carolina feels like they finally got footing, they fall down and land on their face again. And if you want to, here's the thing. Alabama could stink up the field the rest of the season, and they're still going to have a top five, top six recruiting class. They're still going to be one of the hottest transfer destinations if they want to be. They're still going to be all those things because they have built something there. If South Carolina falls flat on their face and they only win another game or two this year, all the goodwill that's been building up, right back down the crapper.
See, you're saying all that, but one thing that Alabama had was Nick Saban. No Nick Saban, and if you have another loss like this, there are some recruits who are going to go, I'm not going there because this is not the Alabama that they used to be.
If Alabama loses all but two more games, the recruiting class is still five times better than South Carolina's if South Carolina wins all their games. The margin of error, you cannot, you personally, yeah, and I don't ever speak to you personally. Sometimes I do. You personally cannot look at South Carolina and Alabama as if those are two programs on equal footing. They're just not. They're just not. It's like looking at Iowa State and Ohio State and being like, oh, you know, if Ohio State, they're different worlds.
I'm looking at one program that could be on decline and the other one that's exactly where people thought they would be at
right,
this point.
But it's, no, because I thought they'd be like this on the rise, on the way up.
Did you?
Yes.
What was your predicted record for the end of the season?
7-5.
So could happen.
No. Not if they're going to do that. And by the way, you said earlier, first bad game. No, it wasn't. I stand on. The Old Dominion game was a bad game. They won.
They won the game.
But that's a bad game.
It was the very first game with a brand new sort of quarterback. And everyone, well,
can you play a booty cheeks game and still win?
Absolutely.
There you go. That's all I'm saying. They played booty cheeks against ODU, and they won the game. They played booty cheeks against Ole Miss, and they got kicked into booty cheeks. That is what it is. And for the first time Saturday night, after thinking about that game, looking at that game, I looked at it and went, every time you take a step forward, you take two back.
What's Alabama's record?
Stop focusing on Alabama.
No, I'm just curious.
Focusing on Alabama.
What is the record?
Focus on the team we're talking about.
I don't know their record.
They lost the game after they beat an undefeated number one in the country, two out of the last three natties, Georgia team.
Okay, I was just curious.
South Carolina lost to Ole Miss. You putting Ole Miss and Georgia on the same plane? Hell no.
So it's talking about the decline of one team and another team that's about where everyone thought they would be.
They're not, though. I expected upward trajectory. I'm not getting it. I got to step back. Texter said Carolina was hot garbage on Saturday. We got the team that played Old Dominion, not the team that competed with LSU. Texter said, Gamecock fan, Carolina had the hardest game of all during bye week. The mental game of staying locked in and focused. Welcome to Carolina football. Texter said, South Carolina is a poorly coached team, little league offense when the quarterback has the most rushing attempts. I agree with all of them. John Blau of the Post and Courier. Next, talk Clemson football on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about our friends at New Life Weight Loss. I worked with New Life over the summer. I dropped 50-plus pounds. I worked with New Life over the summer. I lost a foot, 12 inches, around my waistline. I put on a suit for my wedding on the 21st of this month. Whew, boy, did I look good. I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to shock a lot of you. It's true. There's one thing in my life I have struggled with for a very long time. Self-confidence, honestly. And it's because of my weight. It's a truth, all right? New Life has helped me with that. Because I got to tell you, when I look in the mirror at the Rob Brown who dropped 50 pounds and a foot off his waistline, I just feel different about myself. I feel better about myself. When I put on clothes that fit, when I'm able to throw on the thousands of dollars of personalized jerseys that I've acquired over the years and they fit again, I feel better about myself. And it's because of my friends at New Life Weight Loss. And if I can do it, I promise you that you can do it. And all you have to do is get in touch with New Life right now. You can go to their website at mynewlifeweightloss.com and learn all about their medically driven weight loss plan that leaves you, by the way, feeling fulfilled and satisfied. You're not going to be like, oh, I'm starving all the time. No. They're going to make sure you're good to go. They did for me. Or And what I want you to do is call this number, 864-719-2550, 864-719-2550. You tell them Rob Brown sent you, they're going to give you $250 off the new Life Weight Loss Program. 864-719-2550. Lose the pound, lose the inches, gain the confidence, and feel like the best version of yourself with our friends at New Life Weight Loss. It is the three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the year, the Rob Brown Show. Robin the Great One, Lonzo with you here on an upstate Monday morning. And now we welcome into the show from the Post and Courier. He is a reporter who covers the Clemson Tag Athletic Department. John Blau joining us here on the show. John, what's up, big dog? How we doing?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Doing real well. Thank you very much. Let's dive right in, bud. Let's talk a little bit about this game on the road against Florida State. And I think in the middle of the season, which is where we, well, just about are, I think it is fair to say that right now, I, more than anything else, just want to see a team doing what it's supposed to be doing, getting the wins they're supposed to win, winning the way they're supposed to win. And Clemson, who is now inside of the top 10, did what they wanted to do. They went down to Florida State. They won convincingly. For the most part, they kept Florida State out of the end zone. In fact, the couple of touchdowns Florida State had were two of the more impressive plays the Noles have had all season long. Did Clemson do what they were supposed to do and live up to the expectations you had for this game?
Yeah, I mean, you collect 500 yards. They had 250. A lot of it came, late on a drive. They had a couple of drives, like you said, where they kind of finished with some pretty nice throws and catches. And so, for the most part, obviously you don't like that you went to, seven field goal attempts and two of them were blocked. I mean, I think that kind of put a little bit of a damper on things. Obviously, you could have won 35-13 instead of 29-13. And obviously, if you finish a couple drives with touchdowns instead of field goals, maybe it's a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, another good performance in the offense. The defense, for the most part, really good. Obviously, they only get 22 rushing yards. That's not very many. So they did mostly what you thought they were going to do, what you wanted them to do if you're a Clemson fan. And obviously, got that first win on the road and have to get another one on the road, and you keep on kind of matriculating down the schedule.
You mentioned the 250-ish yards for Florida State. I think it is important to point out that 22 of them were on the ground. That is 22 cumulative total entire rushing yards. We had talked about a couple of times this season, John, about the fact that, until Clemson's offense got clicking, it was going to be on the defense to kind of predicate games for the Clemson Tigers. And they certainly did that this weekend. Oh, and by the way, the Tigers are to where they can get 230, 40, 50 yards out of Cade Klubnik through the air. Talk about this front seven for the Clemson Tigers, because we expected them to be good, and mission accomplished.
Yeah, obviously had some struggles the week before against Stanford. Stanford came out and ran some option, which they hadn't seen, they didn't expect, and so it looked a little ugly there. But against the Florida State team, that I think was only averaging maybe like 2.4 yards per carry or something. They limited them like you would expect them to. I mean, DeMonte Capehart, Peyton Page, I mean, they were a problem in the middle. Obviously, you've got Tyre Woods back on the edge. T.J. Parker had a pretty good game as well. Shaheem Lawson's another guy stepping up the defensive end. So, they're pretty good up front. And then, obviously, you got those linebackers behind them, Barrett Carter and Wade Woodhouse, who can move around a little bit. And they got more than enough dudes up front. So, they made it really hard. Obviously, they put a lot of pressure on Brock Glenn, a very inexperienced quarterback, to win the game for him. And Glenn actually made some plays. Again, we were talking about that last question. I mean, Glenn made some really impressive throws, moved around with the speed. I mean, they convert 4-4 and fourth down, which you don't think is going to happen a lot. They definitely did enough to kind of really limit that Florida State running game, put Glenn into some tough spots. Glenn actually converted a couple tough spots, but as long as they play kind of this level, I mean, most teams aren't really going to be able to move the ball on Clemson very easily if you're in second and third and longs a lot.
Talking to John Blau, covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. Was there a let me put it this way, John. I really thought Clemson was going to go down to Tallahassee, thought this was a game they should have won last year. Obviously, Dabo with the opportunity to pass Bobby Bowden for the most all-time ACC wins and do it in Tallahassee on the field named after him. I wondered if the emotion was going to get maybe intense for Clemson. I wondered if maybe they would allow that to kind of drive them a little bit. I never really saw that. This looked like a team that was very much in charge of its own emotion. And to me, that is an indicator of a team that's good enough to go to the playoffs and win there.
Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, Dabo Swinney himself is talking about it's not about, you know, the narratives. It's not about we're playing DJ or we're not playing DJ through Young LA. It's not about me going to, you know, get a record for the most wins in the ACC. You know, it's about our next game. And obviously they kept that mentality. You look at the schedule and really there's nobody Clemson shouldn't beat. I mean, and you can't look all the way ahead though to the ACC title game against Miami if that's who it is. And so you have to take each challenge week by week, as cliche as it sounds, and you know, step up to that challenge. And that's what they're doing. They beat Florida State. They have to beat Wake Forest. They have to beat Virginia. I mean, all teams that every single week, everybody's going to say you should beat. And if you don't beat them, it's going to be a, you know, absolute panic. And so they seem pretty focused. They seem pretty mature and dialed in. And we'll see if they can continue, like I said before, kind of matriculate the ball downfield week to week and kinda, you know, do what they have to do.
I think one of the things I loved about this performance out of Clemson, John, was how balanced the offense was. You had 40 carries. You had 34 passing attempts. Phil Maffa had himself another day, 25 carries, 154 yards, including a 59er that probably should have scored. Cade, 19 of 33 for 235 and a couple of touchdowns. What has been, in your opinion, the difference in this offense? Is it finding a balance? Is it the improved performance of Cade Klubnik? Has it been a difference in play calling that you've noticed? Obviously, since the Appalachian State game, this offense is just at least felt different, if not looked different. What do you credit that to?
Yeah, I mean, you can point to a whole lot of different places. I mean, the offensive line, I think, is number one. Just the fact that Cade Klubnik has so much time back there. I mean, he's not under pressure. Obviously they can establish their own when they need to. And you know, then you bring it back to the quarterback, just making much better decisions. It doesn't look panicked back there. It's all the things that we heard in the offseason leading up to the season, that he's just a more mature, poised guy back there. And the plays he's making with his legs, I mean, I just put so much stress on a defense that, you know, you can drop eight and try to deal with now these new, you know, receivers Clemson has with speed and TJ Moore and Bryant Westgill and a healthy Antonio Williams. But you drop eight, and now Cade Klubnik's running for, you know, 30, 40 yards. I mean, it's just that they put so much stress on a defense with those different dimensions they have. And then, yeah, I think it's really important, like I said, with the receivers, that they have these healthy guys who can make plays. I mean, that play that Antonio Williams made over the middle, you know, catch the ball, kind of run into a defender. The defender runs into the other defender, goes 50, 70 yards. He's such a mature, more physical guy now. They just have so many more playmakers, so many more mature guys. And I think it's just a cumulative effect that it's just all kind of clicking into place at once. And yeah, I would start with the offensive line, but it kind of trickles down to all those other position groups. I mean, they've all just gotten a lot better.
We are talking to John Blau from the Post and Courier here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You put Florida State in the rear view mirror. You got Wake Forest, Virginia, and Louisville all coming up. There is only one ranked team remaining in front of Clemson, and that is number 22 Pitt on the 16th of November. You followed up with the Citadel and then a South Carolina team that was very disappointing this weekend to Gamecock fans. What is the mentality of this team? I know you just talked about it a little bit. You got to beat the teams that are ahead of you that you are expected to beat. But if you're Dabo, how do you keep this team focused knowing that if we're being honest, the most difficult of the schedule is behind you? Effectively, at this point, you are in control of your own destiny. What do you think the message is to keep this team centered?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's tons of coachisms or Sweeneyisms that they say all the time. And, you know, obviously this week is the most important game on the schedule. We're playing Clemson. We're not playing the opponent. You're going to hear that 10,000 times over the next, you know, couple of months, because like you said, it's there's nobody on the schedule that they shouldn't beat. You know, obviously Pitt is having a pretty good year. Louisville's a pretty good team, but obviously just lost to SMU, so they're not even ranked anymore. There's a lot of teams that every single week Clemson's going to be favored. If they do what they should do, they should win. If they don't turn the ball over like they haven't been turning the ball over, complete opposite of last year. If you, you know, again, establish the run, keep Kate Klubnik protected, all these things, they're going to win football games. So, again, I think the mentality is just that you're focused on doing everything to your best. And if you do that and you take care of the process during the week and on Saturdays, you should win football games and they should have a chance to go back to the playoffs.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. You can find him on X at John Blau, John underscore Blau, B-L-A-U. Joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson Tiger athletics. John, my man, thank you very much, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier every Monday at 8:40 here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's take us a break. When we come back here in just a minute, the final hour of the show, we got to talk a little baseball, playoffs ongoing, a little basketball, NBA preseason underway, a little hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes back in action this weekend, and whatever else you want to get into. Now, before we get there, the dulcet tones of the great one, Lonzo.
That's me, dulcet. Dagum. Carolina Panthers dropped their fourth out of five with a 36-10 loss to the Chicago Bears yesterday. And Dalton went 18-28 for 136 yards and a pick. Chuba Hubbard, 38-yard touchdown on the opening drive, was the only touchdown on the day for Carolina. Chicago rookie quarterback Caleb Williams went 20 of 29 for 304 yards and two touchdowns, both to former Panther DJ Moore. After a chaotic weekend that saw the number 1, number 4, number 8, number 9, number 10, and number 11 seeds all get upset, the new AP Top 25 poll is out. Texas now owns 52 of the 61 first-place votes, followed by Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Georgia, Miami, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and then Clemson. Tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Chattanooga Mocs. It's Furman versus Chattanooga right here on your home for Paladins football. The Fan, Upstate.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.